Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Historic Germanna, the focus this morning. Jennifer Hurst-Wender here, the executive director, and Shannon Doherty, the education manager at Historic Germanna. Good morning to both of you. Great to have you in studio with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
We have done a number of videos in the past few weeks about things going on and have a number of more planned. But for people who don't know, Jennifer, Historic Germanna out on Route 3 West, and just really a lot of history, a lot going on as far as just history and activities with Historic Germanna that I think a lot of us have gone a long time in being in this area who didn't realize that there really is a lot to see and do.
Yes, and I'm so glad to be on the show to talk about Historic Germanna and all that we have and that we offer. So I guess I'll just kind of, for everybody who's not that familiar with Historic Germanna, I'll just kind of give you a quick overview of what we have and who we are. So our visitor center is actually located on Route 3 on the Rapidan River, right before you cross the line over into Culpeper. So we're actually in Orange. And Historic Germanna really gives name to Germanna Highway, the Germanna Community College, but the origins come from the year 1714, where Lieutenant Governor Alexander Spotswood brought over a handful of German indentured servants to live in a fort, and the fort was called Fort Germanna. And it was called that because of the German immigrants, as well as at the time Queen Anne, who also gives rise to the name the Rapidanna River.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact.
her reign as queen came to an end shortly after 1714, but still her name is a lasting legacy. So that first colony of German immigrants, they serve out their indenture, and then Alexander Spotswood brings over a second colony of German immigrants in 1717. And so Historic Germanna was really founded in the middle of the 20th century because of the descendants of those German immigrants that are still here today by the thousands. There's thousands of them nationwide, well, even internationally at this point. And so Historic Germanna has this legacy that started as the core of the German immigrants, but really expanded out. So what you have this fort, but quickly after the fort is constructed, Spotswood has an enormous house built right next to the fort. At this point in time, we call it the Enchanted Castle. And Spotswood, as being the visionary that he is, he also has constructed the first Spotsylvania courthouse complex just about 300 feet off the side of his house. And so that has a courthouse, a jail, an ordinary, and other support buildings. And so we have a very active archaeology site. The dig season goes from May to November. But in addition to that, you can visit our visitor center. We have an archaeology center. We have 170 acres that we just put under conservation easement, and it has miles of trails. And as of last week, we just opened the Germanna Ford public boat launch. And so now you can take your non-motorized watercraft, your kayaks, your paddle boards, your stand-up or your canoes or whatever you want, and put them in and go about 7.8 miles down to Ely's Ford, which is the next public takeout.
That is, I know for people who use the water, that's a really exciting development, and we saw that. I mean, it's a great spot to go in.
Oh, it's fantastic. And this was put in with partnership with Friends of the Rappahannock. We really could not have done it without them. So I need to give them a big shout out. They have been just the absolute best partners. So this is the furthest upriver on the Rapidan that you can put in. And it's also the only put in Orange County on the Rapidan. So we're super excited about that. So all of that is a lot that Germanna does, but even more so in Culpeper County, 8 miles down Route 3 from our visitor center, we own and operate a historic site called Salubria. And so actually one of the things that we really want to do is talk about Salubria on today's show. So it was constructed in 1757. It's a Georgian style house, and it's really a super rare gem because it's completely untouched. It doesn't have any of sort of the modern updates. It's mm-hmm. preserved, but it is in no way, shape, or form restored. And so it's actually going to be open this Saturday. We're having an open house where visitors can come. They can tour the site, walk on the grounds, and just really kind of experience this site that's not open to the public that often.
You took me there yesterday, and we'll get into this as we go along this morning. But it's fabulous. And the last time you were in here, we talked about it, and I was looking at pictures and couldn't believe that there was a house like that existed around here. I'd never heard of it, and just to see it. So we'll get into all that. And I also want to talk about Fort Germanna and just the archaeology. There really is a lot to see,
right?
And a lot to do. And so that's why I'm glad to have both you here. Jennifer Hurst Wender is here along with Shannon Doherty. We're going to take a quick break and come back and start talking about a lot of this stuff with Historic Germanna. Germanna.org, the website, if you want to check that out. Or Facebook has all kinds of great information, too. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Historic Germanna this morning. Jennifer Hurst Wender is here, and along with Shannon Doherty. Jennifer, one of the things, a lot of us, I think, have heard of the Enchanted Castle. Do you know where that was? Or have you been able, if you archaeology-wise, you just continue to do work around that?
Yes. So the Enchanted Castle site was dug originally by Mary Washington. Well, originally, actually, by state archaeologists, and then by Mary Washington in the 80s and 90s. And so they did a fantastic job of mapping out what the site looked like and really doing a lot of the initial dig. And then the site lay dormant until, let's see, I think 2014, when Historic Germanna took over stewardship of the property. And then we brought in, Dr. Eric Larson, who's our current director of archaeology. And he's done a fantastic job, not only working on some of the extant buildings attached to the Enchanted Castle, but identifying a lot of the additional buildings, the Spotsylvania Courthouse, and other kind of buildings that aren't directly related to the Enchanted Castle. And so their field school, he works with VCU, and so they have a field school that comes out mm-hmm. every year, and we also have paid interns that come out every year to help. And it's a remarkable archaeology program. Their focus is really on those students in the field school and the interns, and so they're really teaching best practices. And so because they're teaching best practices in archaeology, they have to do the best practices. So they're meticulous in documenting their finds. And man, oh man, have they found some cool stuff.
I was just going to say, and we will do many more shows on just the archaeology end, but I'm sure that you continue to find cool things and probably learn things that continue to change the Germanna story.
Yes, you are exactly right. We recently received a state grant through the Department of Historic Resources, and it's part of their Black, Indigenous, and People of Color Fund. And so our focus is to actually identify what we believe would have been the slave quarters and those extant spaces like the kitchens mm-hmm. and other places where the people who were enslaved would have basically run the Enchanted Castle. And in one of the extant buildings, which we believe to be a kitchen, we, at the end of our dig season, we were actually able to uncover some artifacts that directly tie to the African experience. We found a cowrie shell that had been worked into some sort of bead or pendant. And cowrie shells are only found in the Indian Ocean and would have only been brought at that time from Africa. So it's a direct connection from Africa to what we have in the Enchanted Castle. So that was probably the coolest artifact that we found all year.
How fascinating. Mm-hmm. How fascinating is all that? The Enchanted Castle and the digs and stuff, we'll do many more shows on that, because that really is, that's exciting. Just the archaeology that goes on at these these sites is just terrific. Shannon Doherty here, the education manager. So Shannon, a little bit about you. How does one become an education manager at Historic Germana? How'd you get there?
I've had a bit of a roundabout route to get here. I spent some time with the National Park Service, but I really fell in love with this region and this region's history. And Germana really ties into so many of these stories, you know, 18th century history, Civil War history, you know, environmental stuff. It just kind of ties everything in together. I have a bachelor's in history, but I have some experience as well, and I've been doing a lot of learning on the fly, and that's what's really cool about this job, is I learn so much, I meet so many cool people, make connections, and it's just been a really wonderful last year that I've been here at Historic Germana.
Well, and there's so much there's so much at Historic Germana. You're dealing with so many things and so many even so many time, you know, as far as a timeline goes, that you'd never be bored. There's always something interesting, whether it's you know, whether the trails or the boat launch, or you know, all these other things.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I learn something new every day. Especially with Salubria, which Jennifer mentioned already, 1757 plantation house that just has so many layers of history. The really cool thing about it is it's never been interpreted before, and it doesn't really have a famous name associated with, like a lot of houses in Virginia do. So that presents, you know, both a challenge but also an opportunity for us to interpret it in a slightly different way, taking a different direction than a traditional house museum might.
Well, let's talk about that, because just walking around there with you two yesterday, like you say, even though there's not a name associated with it, just the fact that it's like you've walked into a time capsule and you're back in the 1750s with it there. It doesn't need to have the way that's been preserved and everything. It just really doesn't need a name.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you walk into the house and you still have the original 18th century paneling. There's no furniture in the house, no modern amenities or anything. So I think a time machine is a great way to describe it. You can also see, for people who are really interested in architecture and historic preservation, these different layers of improvements and changes that have been made to the house. Not that there have been too many modern changes, but in the 18th century, there are some changes. In the 19th century, there were a few changes, but you can kind of see, you know, almost 200 years of history just in front of you, in the walls. And that speaks to either the experience of the people who lived there, and what their priorities were at the time and how they lived. And I think Salubria in general is a great microcosm of the Piedmont experience.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we have people who are wealthy, who are of means, but aren't necessarily, you know, the George Washingtons, the Thomas Jeffersons of the time. And they are eking out an existence, of course, sustained by enslaved labor force, but their lifestyle changes as the Piedmont grows. You know, Salubria sits above Route 3, basically, in Culpeper County. And basically, I imagine it witnessing the growth of Culpeper County from kind of this, you know, quote-unquote frontier for European civilization to a, you know, thriving route from Fredericksburg west to the Shenandoah. And Salubria kind of witnesses this change. And I think that's really fascinating about it.
What, and what's great about also the other part is you walk around, you see the house, you see the grounds, and there are so many similarities with the grounds of say a Kenmore that is all nice and manicured. But you look here, and this gives you just a view, another view of, you know, further out into the, you know, into the country, and it's a fascinating place. I mean, yeah. We were there for like an hour just walking around, and I could have spent hours there just poking around.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. An aspect of it that is really interesting is the fact that this is such a stately Georgian style manor that seems better placed in a place like Williamsburg or down in the Tidewater, but it's in Culpeper County.
Yeah.
In a time frame when Culpeper is largely unsettled by Europeans. So I, you know, try to imagine the amount of resources and wealth that has to have been marshaled to build a house like this in, you know, what was then seen as the middle of nowhere. And that makes the handcrafted, the wood-carved paneling even more impressive when you realize, oh, okay, they had to bring this all the way from Fredericksburg or all the way, you know, from England in the case of the glass.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Just mm-hmm. how do you get all of these? I never even considered that. How do you get all the building pieces, you know, out, you know, Route 3 West like that out there?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. It's worth mentioning that the house was constructed for Reverend John Thompson and his wife, Butler Brain Spotswood Thompson. So she was the widow of Lieutenant Governor Alexander Spotswood.
Oh, okay.
And so by the time her first husband passes away, this makes her, if not the richest widow, then definitely in the top five,
right? Yeah.
in Virginia. And so you know, it's worth saying that yes, there was a lot of money that it took to get Salubria built.
For sure. Yeah. We did talk about bringing resources in, but some of the resources that made the house were most likely created on site, and that's largely the bricks. We have oral histories that suggest there's a brick kiln at the back of the house, and all these bricks, you know, we're talking in the 18th century, they're all handmade, largely probably by enslaved women and children who hand-shaped them and then laid them out to dry. And something I think is really fascinating is just looking at the imperfections of the bricks, because they're all handmade, right? And you also, if you look close enough, you can see evidence of these people in their fingerprints and maybe even handprints. And it's really powerful because a lot of their stories have been lost. And the written record is often lacking in stories of these people. And so seeing their physical remnants is just a really powerful way to tie in those stories.
We looked at that, and that is because you two were looking for, and we stood there and you would say, there's a fingerprint, there's a fingerprint. And that is, at the time it didn't strike me as it does now. That's a pretty powerful thing to see someone's fingerprint in that brick all these years later.
Yeah. In addition to that, we do have on display, and I don't think that we pointed this out to you when you were there, but there's a brick with who we believe was the builder or the architect's initials and the date of 1757 on a brick.
Oh, wow.
And there's also another brick that has an animal print. So, leaving your marks everywhere.
Yeah, just to see those kinds of things. But to be able to walk around a building like that, and like you said, with no furniture and anything, and just so untouched. You just imagine what it was like for people to live there.
Yeah, I think that's what makes Salubria so special is you can really put yourself, you know, connect with the past. You can get really close with the past, you know, looking at the walls, looking at the, you know, slight changes that have gone throughout the years. And you can imagine, the furniture might have been set up like this.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not limited to, you know, we put furniture in there. This is how it was for its 200 years of existence. Now, you can kind of imagine it. You can imagine it changing. I like to emphasize that when I'm giving tours is, you know, this room may have been one use for one family. And then, you know, 100 years later, they have an entirely different set of priorities. And so they use it entirely differently. And I think that's really cool, too, because you know, it's the same for us. Like, we don't have the same exact uses for rooms that our grandparents may have used. So that also brings that personal connection to people that visit the house.
One of the things that struck me is the building itself. I mean, it's such good shape, and it's got a strong roof. Everything's dry, and so over the years, Historic Germana has taken great pains to make sure that it stays solid. And
right, yeah, no, that's a really good point. So Historic Germana, Salubria was donated to our organization in the year 2000. And in 2011, there was an earthquake. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was an earthquake in 2011.
Yeah, a little bit.
And at that time, the chimney stacks actually kind of started to fail, and some of the bricks actually collapsed in from the chimney stacks. And Germana was able to get funding to repair the chimney, but also while we were at it, put a brand new roof on there and make sure that the house is very stable. So while it is, again, it's preserved, it is not restored, but it is a very solid, dry, healthy building that is just raw.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it. In a way, as I left it yesterday, I thought, I'm sure down the line, you know, things will be done, but you just hate to see. I like the way it is.
I like the way it is too. You know, sometimes people ask, oh, why don't you restore it? You know, put furniture in it, and I think, you know, that has its interpretive value. But I think the state our house is in, has its own interpretive value.
It does.
Its own special meaning to people. And I think we should keep it the way it is. At least that's my view of it.
Especially since you aren't dealing with some, you know, with a big name. Mm-hmm. It really shows that it is for a time. But yeah. So there's an open house Saturday.
Yeah. So this Saturday, we typically open the house like once a quarter for public visitation. So this Saturday, May 11th, from 10 to 2, we'll have the house open, the grounds open. We'll have a few partner organizations there tabling. But it's really just an opportunity to come out, explore the grounds. Our volunteer interpreters, they're awesome at showing the house, answering questions. They'll be around to give informal tours, answer questions. And it's just, yeah, a great opportunity. Hopefully the weather holds out to, you know, enjoy the spring/summer weather that we're having. So it's definitely a really cool opportunity to take advantage to actually see Salubria in person. You know, we've done a lot of talking about it, but you can't really do justice to it.
No, you have to see. Yeah, no, and we'll have some pictures later in the week on our Facebook page on it, because it really is. It's really worth, if you're interested in this area, just to see it, and it really is a step back in time. We'll talk a little bit more about that and some other things continue on this morning. Historic Germana, our focus, germana.org, or go to Facebook, and you can find all kinds of things going on with Historic Germana. Shannon Doherty is here along with Jennifer Hurst-Wender. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's coming up on 831.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Shannon Doherty and Jennifer Hurst-Wender in this morning from Historic Germana, germana.org, the website. And also check out Facebook for all kinds of updated information. Before we get off Salubria, and again, 10 to 2 on Saturday, there is an open house at Salubria. It's in, you can put it in your GPS and get there, but it's Route 3 West in, is it Stevensburg?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that area.
Culpeper County, it's about 8 miles over the border, so you just get on Route 3 and you go 25, 26 miles down, and it's on the left-hand side, and
Salubria Lane.
Yes, Salubria Lane. It's a gravel driveway. You go right up and park up there.
It's the area where the police really patrol. Don't, when it says 25, go 25. Whatever the speed limit is, you go that speed limit. It's that area, but it's not far. And from Germana, from where the visitor center
is. Yeah, it's just 8 miles down the road from the visitor center. Yeah. It's a quick little drive.
We were talking just a second ago off the air where we were talking about the gardens and the layered gardens. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, you were saying that there's a story to that.
Right. So Salubria has what we call falling gardens, and it's one of the really super unique aspects of the site and the landscape. And I can tell you all about it, but you have to see it to really do it justice. But it's a massive tiered garden, and I say garden loosely at this point. It's grass, but you really can see see it existing. And that was constructed. We have a running theory that one of the reasons that it was constructed was in order to harvest all of the red clay for the brick. But the actual tiers is kind of a legacy of a lot of the Spotswood properties. So if you go back to Alexander Spotswood, he was responsible for a lot of the architecture in what is now in Williamsburg, now Colonial Williamsburg. So the Governor's Palace, the Capitol, the Powder Magazine, the Wren Building, all of these were influenced or designed by Alexander Spotswood. And if you go to the Governor's Palace, you'll see tiered gardens. The Enchanted Castle has a tiered garden. Salubria has a tiered garden. And here in Fredericksburg, the next generation of Spotswood and Thompson descendants have Fall Hill built. And I don't know if you're familiar with that historic site, but that historic site also has tiered gardens. So
isn't
it's kind
that
of a,
interesting.
Yeah, it's a family tradition.
I'm sure you all work closely with all other, whether it's Colonial Williamsburg or even the historic sites and in museums in this area.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The history community, we are tight knit. And we, you know, it's a wonderful thing. The history community in Virginia, we are really big about sharing our resources and partnering wherever we can. You know, it's pretty much all the same history, which is actually kind of a lead-in into one of the other things that I wanted to talk about, which is, you know, I mentioned at the very beginning of this conversation that we had about how Germana is really, you know, we're on Germana Highway, there's the Germana Community College, and our resources being kind of spread out, we're really looking to tell the story of what we call the Germana region. And, you know, in 1714, this was the furthest west right there on the Rapidan that that European colonists had gone. And quickly after that 1714 time period, really the migration of European colonists spreads quickly. And so we have kind of this region, including Fauquier and Warrenton and Madison, but that has that influence from the German immigrants, from the English colonists, you know, the people who were enslaved, the indigenous population, that kind of started connecting with each other right there on the Rapidan at Germana. And so really as we're moving forward, and Salubria kind of ties into that. As Shannon was saying, you know, what started as a very sleepy little spot on the edge of the wilderness where Salubria was built becomes kind of a prosperous thoroughfare connecting Culpeper to Fredericksburg. And so, you know, we're really looking to kind of tell a bigger story of westward expansion in this region.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of stories to tell. Mm-hmm. The German immigrants who came here, for people who can trace their families back to Germania, are there ever any like, you know, reunions and that kind of thing?
Yes, well, absolutely. For I think about 70 years. And that's really the reason that this organization was founded are these annual reunions. The descendants of the Germana immigrants consider themselves a family of families.
And
so,
I bet.
So it's a huge family reunion. And it's the third week in July. every year. This year is no different. So Thursday through Sunday is our 2024 conference and reunion. So if anybody is interested in genealogy and the history of the area, or if you think that you may be connected to one of the many Germana families, I hope that you come out for all or part of our reunion week.
How interesting must that be to get some of these families together, and in the fact that you can you've got, you know, the fort, the Enchanted Castle, all of that. That would be just fascinating if you could tie yourself to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great weekend. We kick it off with an archaeology open house. Then there's bus tours of the region that kind of take you to those places in the Germana region that are connected to the Germana history. We're going to pop over to downtown Culpeper and party in their block party on Thursday. And then on Saturday, we have our full conference. We're having an Oktoberfest at Old House Brewery. There'll be VIP tours of Salubria. It's a real fun weekend. And it's one of multiple decades of people getting together.
It's really special because you get to meet people from all over that have this passion and this connection to Germana. And it's really rare, I feel like, in the public history or just in any field, like, to get such a large group of people who are so passionate about one thing. And, you know, you could be from entirely different backgrounds, but you're like, no, I care about this place. So that's a thread. And you get to, meet so many different fascinating people, hear their stories, hear about their ancestors. It's just a really neat experience.
Yeah. Oh, just the whole story of them coming over and then, you know, settling here. And I mean, it had to have been incredibly difficult.
Yes, and I kind of a little quick summary of that. So you have your first group of indentured servants that come over in 1714, and they're all from the same region in Siegen in Germany, and that's how we got the name Siegen Forest for the first colony. The second colony is super fascinating because they didn't intend to be indentured. They came from different regions in Germany and were kind of waylaid in London waiting for their ship, and their captain was actually in debtor's prison. So he was in debtor's prison for a couple of months. And
they had to just wait?
They had to wait, and they spent all the money that they were going to spend on board and passage in order to survive in London. And so they had no way of getting over to the New World. The captain finally gets out of jail. They're supposed to be going to Pennsylvania. and the ship captain takes them to Virginia instead. Yeah. Not only that, but then he serves them up to Alexander Spotswood as indentured servants. So this,
and you're not expecting to do that.
No, wrong place, wrong situation. So needless to say, the second colony of Germana immigrants were not happy to be at Fort Germana. So as soon as they could possibly get away, they did. Most of them actually settled in Madison County. And if you've ever heard of Hebron Lutheran Church, that was constructed in 1740, and that was constructed by pretty much entirely by the Germana colonists and the next generation. And that church is still active. It's really cool.
And you mentioned at the beginning, we talked about how early on how the Spotsylvania Courthouse was there. When did lines kind of change and you know, boundaries change?
Oh, that's a great question, and I'm probably gonna so the courthouse really gets going in about 1723, and it lasts for 10 to 15 years. It's even at that time, the people who lived in what would have been Spotsylvania at that time were having a really hard time getting all the way out to Spotsylvania Courthouse. And at that time, you're going to court once a month. When it was court time, the town was flooded with people. And people from all walks of life. There's a lot of times where I like to imagine what it would have been like to have all of these different people there at that site on the Rapidan at Germana. But within about 10, 15 years, everybody's saying, you know, this is really hard to get to. Can we have a more centrally located courthouse, please? And so then the new Spotsylvania courthouse, which is much more centrally
right.
located, is constructed.
The courthouse is actually at Fredericksburg for a little bit. There's actually this really kind of amusing petition that citizens submit to the colonial government and are like, hey, we don't really like going all the way out to Germanna to do court. Like they say, it's a huge inconvenience.
Yeah.
And so by the end of the 1720s, Fredericksburg has been like designated this port town that all tobacco has to go out of. And so Fredericksburg kind of shifts to become more prominent than Germanna. And yeah, you see a shift of power. I think it's really also interesting to think about in that early 1720s, thinking of going to court, right? You go to court once a month or whatever for court days, and you're going down Germanna Highway, Route 3, and that road has been largely shaped and developed by Spotswood and his money and his influence. You're going down the road, and you're getting close to the Rapidan River, and suddenly you see this huge house up on a hill, and that the courthouse is right next to it. So
yeah.
You've got to go up. You see, you know, you're surrounded by Spotswood influence. And I think that's why his story is so interesting. It's this two worlds that he lives in between, you know, being a colonial governor and representing the crown and representing imperial interests and colonialism, but also he is very much a self-starter in a sense that he wants to grow his own holdings and his own monetary, you know, growth because he knows that by this point he's kind of on the outs. He's kind of annoyed a lot of people in Williamsburg and they're kind of gunning for him to be removed as lieutenant governor. And so to make sure that he has subsistence going forward, he builds his own little empire. And so
yeah.
I like to think of it as like Spotswood's little fiefdom. As you're going to court, you know, you're in, you know, British Virginia, but you're also in Spotswood's own little region, which ties in great to the name of the county, which is literally Spotswood's Woods, Spotsylvania. Spotsylvania County originally, I think, consists Orange County. That gets broken off a few decades later. And same with Culpeper County gets also broken off. But the original Spotsylvania County is absolutely massive originally.
The colonial history that you can tell, it's just so interesting because there's the colonial history in Williamsburg, there's the colonial history in Fredericksburg, and you've got just as much colonial history that now we're starting to know about.
Uh-huh.
So this ties well in just in some ways, the Virginia colonial story hasn't been fully told because we haven't heard as much in the past about Germanna, and we now are.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting because we talk a lot about Jamestown and the Tidewaters being
mm-hmm.
settled, but I feel like that story sometimes gets lost as we move inland, and I think some of it has to do with the fact that it took quite a bit of time for the British to really go inland, Central Virginia, you know, up the Fall Line, which is where Fredericksburg is. And that really influences the way that history plays out 100 years later when
yeah.
the Civil War breaks out, because when Spotswood, they finally get to what is known as the wilderness, and that's what's largely impeded settlement. It's this massive old growth forest that's really hard to pass through. There's a few, you know, bridle paths, some paths made by indigenous folks, but it's really impenetrable.
Which we see in the Civil War.
Yeah, exactly. And so this wilderness actually is shaped by Spotswood. He develops really one of the first industries in Virginia, which is iron mining. And iron mining requires a whole lot of workforce, a lot of effort. It requires you to cut down wood and burn it for charcoal. And this charcoal has to be burning like 24 hours a day. So you require a lot of wood. And so this old growth forest gets decimated by the need for wood for these iron furnaces. If anyone's familiar with Catherine Furnace on the Chancellorsville battlefield, that is just one iteration of the iron mines and furnaces that dot this whole region.
Oh, so they're all around.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's still remnants of them today in Orange County. But it's that in combination with there's some tobacco farming that's going on in Orange and Spotsylvania County, and the land really just gets depleted. You know, the forest is largely gone. There's clearings that tobacco is a very takes a lot of nutrients out of the soil. It depletes the soil. And so by the time the Civil War rolls around, you know, you have these kind of patchy open fields, but you also have this scrub, this second growth forest that's, you know, you're talking about brambles and briars. And, you know, sometimes I think, at least when I start learning about the wilderness, you know, I thought of this, you know, like rainforest, like massive trees. No, it's just like small trees and bushes and just impossible to see 10 feet in front of you. And so the history, the way that Spotswood shapes the land in the 18th century directly impacts the Civil War battles that are fought, because it makes it so hard for armies to pass through, and really makes the fighting there so, so brutal because of the landscape.
Yeah, Shannon Doherty, I was going to say one more thing.
So, but you got to understand, too, is that during the battles of the wilderness, that was once again completely decimated, right? And so what we see now is in part very similar to what would have been there when the Civil War first broke out, that regrowth.
Shannon Doherty and Jennifer Hurst-Wender here from Historic Germana. Good stuff this morning. Germana.org, the website, more on Facebook, too. We'll wrap this up. We'll talk about the open house at Salubria this weekend and get out of here this morning when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Historic Germana. Jennifer Hurst-Wender is the executive director. Shannon Doherty is the education manager at Historic Germana, germana.org for more information. Again, Shanna, Salubria, we talked about it. Open house this weekend, and these don't come up all the time. So take advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. The tickets are available. You can get them on Eventbrite, and you could find that on our Facebook. There's an event there. We have a suggested donation of $10, but it's really a pay-what-you-can event, because we want to make this open and accessible to everyone. Also, if you don't want to purchase your tickets online, we'll gladly accept cash donations at the door. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, kind of an informal event to really bring together some awesome partners that we have, like the American Battlefield Trust and the Museum of Culpeper History and Visit Culpeper, to kind of put this more holistic view of the region, situate Salubria in the region of Culpeper County, and learn about the house, learn about the grounds, interact with your fellow community members. So it should be a great day.
Looking forward to it. And I look forward to doing more with you all at Salubria, because there are so many stories to tell. Jennifer, I'm sure if people want to get involved with Historic Germana financially, there are probably ways to do that.
Well, of course. We are a nonprofit organization, and if you go to germana.org, you can support us in any way that you are able. We are always looking for that kind of support. But additionally, if you know you aren't in a position where you can support us financially, we are always looking for volunteers. You can volunteer at Salubria, you can help us with our trail maintenance, you can volunteer in the archaeology department, indoors or outdoors, cataloging artifacts or actually digging in the dirt with us. There's a lot of ways to become involved, and if nothing else, you've got to come out and walk our trails and go experience our new boat launch and visit us at the visitor center.
Yeah, it's the round kind of building there
that's
Pentagon shaped. It's Pentagon. Okay, I wasn't sure. I knew round was not the correct term, but the trails there are just terrific.
Yep.
And the boat launch, and what if you go from there to Ely's Ford, you said it's about 4 hours. You've done it.
Oh, I have done it many times. It is an absolutely wonderful trip. It's 7.8 miles, but it's the Rapid Anna, so it goes pretty quick. So, you can finish it up in about 4 hours on kayak.
It really is. Historic Germana really will provide you with a look at history in that part of the region that we haven't really heard a lot about. So if you're looking to add to your history portfolio and knowledge of things, there really are. In Salubria this weekend, Shannon, it's really a great opportunity to just see something that you just don't see anywhere else.
Yeah, Salubria is definitely a hidden gem in this region, I would say. But it's definitely worthwhile, worth your time. Presents a slightly different view of the history in a different way, but it's still again, totally worth your time to come out, especially for people who are interested in this region's history.
Germana.edu, or Germana.edu, Germana.org, Germana.org. Shannon Doherty and Jennifer Hurst-Wender with Historic Germana. Check it out, Germana.org. Thank you for both for being here. We'll see you soon.
Thanks so much, Dad.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.